The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. It is the GOAT Show, and not just because you have Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. How about this for a lineup, fellas? We got Joe Montana joining us live. I cannot wait for that. Never had the chance to interview him. And Amanda Nunes. So we're going to have a good time here today on First Take. But, fellas, it looks like the Suns had a good time last night. Let's talk about it. Devin Booker putting in work, taking down the Lakers at Staples by 10. Take a look at the Western Conference standings now. The Jazz are in first place, followed by the Suns and the Lakers, round out the top three, and then the Clippers. So the Suns win. Max, do you think this is a big deal or no big deal?
No big deal. And the reason the Suns are a big deal, and we thought that coming into the season, but this win, no big deal. And the reason is they're playing a depleted Lakers team. The Lakers team, this is not really the Lakers. First of all, you have AD out. And I and many people were pointing out, without Schroeder especially at the time, that's devastating because the Lakers really need that other playmaker in the backcourt. Schroeder comes back. The Lakers cruise to a win. It looks like, oh, maybe all LeBron needs is Schroeder in the backcourt with him. And with what else he has, he can figure it out. But actually, they were also missing Gasol, and they were also missing Kuzma. And they were playing a powerhouse team in the Suns. Not, I know Devin Booker gets ejected and all that stuff, but he's not the only one. He's the focal point. They spent a lot of defensive energy on him and Chris Paul. But those guys can move the ball, find open guys. Bridges and Crowder and Saric and Cam Johnson, and not to mention Ayton. You know, like, they have a whole lot, that team. So the Suns are a powerhouse. And look, they went 8-0 in the bubble before they got Chris Paul. And we knew they were going to be a powerhouse this year. But this particular win against the Lakers team coming to the All-Star break, with now LeBron has to miss the next game because he's ailing, not just down AD, but down Kuzma and down Marc Gasol, I'm not going to read too much into this.
I will, and I'm going to say it's a big victory, and I'm going to say that because Devin Booker got ejected, which, by the way, is a different story for another day. We've got to look into this. I mean, the NBA officiating. I'm not going to even point to the officiating. I'm going to talk to the heavy hand that the league has given them to hand down upon players. Let's just take this into consideration, y'all. We've been ravaged by a global pandemic. You don't have fans in attendance. It's depressing enough to watch these guys perform without fans in attendance. Yet they go out on the court. They go all out. They play their hearts out. They act like it's 20,000 people in attendance. They're doing all of this stuff. And then you sit up there and a team that has been dormant for years is on the rise. The fourth ranked defense in the National Basketball Association, led by Monty Williams, who, by the way, is another Coach of the Year candidate. What a sensational job he is doing as head coach of the Phoenix Suns. You got a star in Devin Booker who had no business not being picked for the All-Star game by the coaches. He's averaging 25 a game. And yes, there is no Anthony Davis, Max, but there's still LeBron James, and Devin Booker is on the other side of the court. And that is what warrants an ejection. I mean, there was nothing demonstrative. There were no fists being thrown or anything like that.
No
debate
there.
We couldn't even figure it out. And you're going to eject this guy for a nationally televised game. Just no regard whatsoever for the fans. And that's where the NBA needs to be called out about this. Just no regard for the fans in this particular situation. You don't think about the fact that it's a nationally televised game and we want to see Devin Booker, and you're just going to eject him over something like that? It's utterly ridiculous. Having said all of that, the Phoenix Suns still showed up and showed out and handled their business. And I understand that the Lakers were shorthanded, but without Devin Booker, aren't they supposed to be shorthanded? With CP3 only hitting one field goal the entire game, although he registered 10 assists. Is that not a big deal? But I'm looking at Mikal Bridges. I'm looking at Saric. I'm looking at the rest of these cats, even a Jay Crowder and all of these boys. And I'm just saying to myself, excuse me, the Phoenix Suns are coming. Best record in the NBA since late January. 15 of their last 18 games they've won. They play defense. They go at it. And I just love the fact that they're on the rise and they're doing what they're doing. Because, again, if they had been a team that had been there all of this time, Max, then it would not have been a big deal that they beat the Lakers. But the fact that they're just now ascending from bubble play to now, and you see them continuing to get better and better. You see how exceptionally well coached they are. You see how exceptional of a defensive team they are. You recognize the star that is Devin Booker, because he is a star. Make no mistake about it. And I just love what I'm seeing right now, man. I'm just looking at these guys right here. And Ayton, well, by the way, he finished with 17 points. This brother can play. Big boy can play. Obviously, he was picked before Luka Doncic, Trae Young, and those boys. And so we sit up there and look at him along with his injured history, and we say, what's the big deal? But the brother can play. The brother can play. And so I'm just happy with what I'm seeing right now, and I'm going to give him props where it's due.
Bunch of things based on what you just said. First, Devin Booker gets ejected. And by the way, Stephen A., not just consideration for the fans, because if he deserves to be ejected, he deserves to be ejected. But what was that first whistle about? And then after the game, they say constant complaining. You tee him up for that's basically nothing. And then he directed something at an official they didn't like. Two whistles and you're out. Come on. But at that time, so we're on the same page about that. But at that time, the Suns had a lead. Like, they were controlling the game and they had a lead. I think they were up like 7. We're talking about the third quarter. It's not like they played the whole game without Devin Booker. And the Suns are a deeper team than the Lakers in terms of their talent that would be in most rotations. Talent that would start on a lot of teams. They're deeper in that sense than the Lakers, who, in addition to not having a lot of those guys, like, you know, LeBron and AD may be better than anyone they have, but the next 5 or 6 or 7 players on the list would all be from the Suns, and the Lakers are shorthanded. That's why I'm discounting it. Got to say this about the Suns. They're a high IQ team in addition to everything else. You look at Chris Paul and Devin Booker. The court vision that Devin Booker has. Of course, we know about Chris Paul. The connection between Chris Paul and a guy like Saric. If you just ever, you have legit 3-and-D guys. They're legit, and we knew this coming into the season. It's not like this is some kind of new information. I'm just saying, if the Lakers, and by the way, LeBron did his thing. Like, he started hitting threes late in the game. He just didn't have enough with him. And based on that game, I'm not convinced, for example, if AD's back, the Suns are going to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. Excellent win by an excellent team, but it doesn't, like, change my thinking about anything. I can't call it a big deal win.
Well, I say it changed my thinking from the standpoint that I'm going to look at Phoenix with a level of seriousness I may not have looked at them before. Even though I saw them in bubble play and then I saw them earlier this season, the fact that they're on this kind of tier, beating the teams that they've beaten, along with the leadership of CP3, combined with the fact that Devin Booker has emerged as a star, that's it. That's valid in and of itself. But forgive me for taking a moment to give props to Monty Williams. You see, because we just lamented the other day the paucity of African-American coaches in the National Basketball Association, the National Football League, and what have you. Look at the job that Monty Williams is bringing. And by the way, notable names that have been assistants for years or have been scouts for years, the Willie Greens of the world that were once in Golden State, the Mark Bryants of the world, the Randy Ayers, people like that, my brother, the former head coach for the Philadelphia 76ers, former head coach at Ohio State University. You're just seeing some of the personnel on their staff, and I just can't say enough about Monty Williams, man. So many people talk about this guy as a character guy. Obviously, he's a great, great person and what have you, and worked under Popovich and others. But the job that he is doing as head coach of the Phoenix Suns cannot go unnoticed. Think about what we were saying about this team before he arrived. They want a fast track to nowhere. We were lamenting the fact that Devin Booker had to sign a long-term deal there to make sure he got his money, et cetera, et cetera. And look, in just a year and a half or so there, look at the job that this man is doing along with his coaching staff in the Phoenix Suns. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm very proud. I'm very, very proud of what I'm seeing from those brothers down in Phoenix. Up in Phoenix, rather.
Wherever. No question. No question, guys. The Suns haven't been in the postseason in a decade. I think that's going to change this season. That's for sure. Obviously, leapfrogging the Lakers in the standings after that win to second last night. Guys, let's talk about the Celtics. It looks like they could be turning things around a little bit. They also had a big win last night, taking down the Clippers by 5. They're now on a 3-game win streak. Jason Tatum dropping 40. Kemba looking like Kemba again, dropping 34. Stephen A., how are you feeling about Boston now?
You know what? I'm feeling a hell of a lot better. They beat Indiana, Washington, and the Clippers.
Yeah, you are.
So I'm feeling a lot better about them. They needed to step up, and that's exactly what they're doing. Remember, we never lamented them from a talent perspective. We know that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are studs. And we know that even though Paul George had a big game, he didn't have a big game in the fourth quarter, A. And B, more importantly, it was primarily because of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the way they defended against him, because he shot like 1-for-11 against them and was lights out against everybody else. So those brothers deserve a lot of credit. But Kemba Walker's got to get most of the credit. He hit 25, and what Max and I both lamented last week was the fact that he clearly was not healthy. His knee has been bothering him. We know what Kemba Walker can do when he's healthy. Here's the thing. We pointed the finger at Brad Stevens, or at least I did, and you're damn right, I ain't apologizing for it, because at the time, he deserved it. You got to find the pulse of the team and peel out whatever's necessary. Now, whatever has happened since he's been on the hot seat, it ain't just the players that has responded. It's Brad Stevens who has responded. Never question his basketball acumen. Never question his know-how. Never question the fact that he had a winning record. Remember, they went to the playoffs the last 4 years, and three of the last 4 years, they were in the conference finals. We can't sneeze at the job that Brad Stevens has done. The problem is what he was doing up until a week ago was very unimpressive, and it looked like the team was going in the wrong direction. And if you're going to point the finger at anybody else, why the hell should he get let off the hook? But ever since that noise was percolating, particularly after they lost to Atlanta and Gallinari gave them 38 for crying out loud, we saw Brad Stevens be more demonstrative in his post-game interview than ever before. And ever since then, they win in basketball games. So major props to him, because whatever modifications that needed to be made, clearly he has made them as a coach as well. Whatever conversations he may have had, whatever motivational tactics he may have employed, whatever you want to point to, Brad Stevens has stepped up. But damn it, he needed to step up based on the way they were looking. And props to him for doing so thus far.
No, I totally disagree. And this just goes back to, like, here's some new evidence, and you and I are exactly on the opposite side of it still. I don't think it's about Brad Stevens, Stephen A. We both knew last week that this season Kemba hadn't been Kemba. That's the bottom line. And Danny Ainge put a roster together heavily reliant on Kemba being that playmaker in the backcourt in order to make it a real big three on offense. Now, you can talk about defensive effort, and I can point to the fact that it's still going to get better when Marcus Smart gets back, and he hasn't been there, but that also affected the offense, because even if he's not a dynamic offensive player, he can play in the backcourt. He can play your point. So no Marcus Smart and no real Kemba Walker. And Kemba is too much of a leader to make excuses. Even ask him now, hey, are you feeling better? He won't even tell you. Yeah, that's the reason. No, he says he's playing better. He's not going to give you excuses. It's one of the things that makes him a real leader and a guy that they wanted in that locker room. But he wasn't Kemba Walker. And how does that affect the defense? Stephen A., we don't have to like it, but we know it's reality. And in fact, I'm sure you have mentioned this on the air in the past, because everyone knows it in basketball. If you want a big man to play defense, what do you have to do if he runs the floor? You got to feed him. You got to feed him to get him to go on the other end, right? Like, people understand this. And that goes really for teams in a lot of respects. It shouldn't be this way. You should find the resolve to play defense even when the offense isn't working, and good defense can lead to better offense. But the reality is, when the offense is flat and things aren't going your way, it can take the energy out on the other end. Kemba Walker looks like Kemba Walker again. So now the offense is clicking again. And so now the defense is being played with more intensity. This was always, in my estimation, a Kemba Walker not being Kemba Walker issue, and secondarily, not having Marcus Smart. Oh, and by the way, I'll say it again as I said it last week. Time Lord needs more minutes. Look what happens when this dude is on the floor. He can really play. My feeling about the Celtics is exactly as it was. They need a healthy Kemba Walker, period. They got him now, it looks like.
Well, first of all, let me say this. Kemba Walker all of a sudden didn't get healthy the last three games. He's got 32, 21, and 25 points over the last three games. He didn't all of a sudden get healthy. The reality of the situation is that you had to figure out a way, whether it was to motivate him, get him to motivate other people. Whatever needed to be done was done. thus far anyway. And that's why I say I'm still not backing off of what I had to say about Brad Stevens. Nobody said he couldn't coach. Nobody said he didn't have a resume. Nobody said that he deserved to be fired or anything like that. What we said was, excuse me, Brad Stevens, this is what the expectation is for a team with this level of talent. And I don't give a damn Kemba Walker or no Kemba Walker. With Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you have no business being a below 500 team in the National Basketball Association with those two studs on the court for you. You just don't. And so as a result, even though Kemba Walker has stepped up and he's playing better, and we appreciate that, the reality of the situation is it doesn't change what we saw. It doesn't change what our demands are of Brad Stevens being in Boston. There are expectations that come along with being with this team. You could lose in the playoffs, but you got to be formidable and you got to be a threat. You can't be a below 500 team, which at the time was a worse team than the New York Knicks. There's no excuse for that. And so even though Kemba Walker getting 32, 21, and 25 over the last three games and sort of resurrecting himself, even though he's still fighting those knee injuries, and we understand it because we know what he can do when he's healthy, the bottom line is that still doesn't absolve Brad Stevens from what he has to do. If you go to any coach, any quality coach in the NBA, and you say, here's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, nobody wants to hear an excuse as to why you're below 500. That's why we were having the discussion about Brad Stevens. It wasn't some long-term thing or anything like that. We were looking at the Celtics and we were like, yo, they're below 500. No excuse for that.
Well, look, put it this way. You could always say, like, is Brad Stevens a perfect coach? No. Is it legitimate
Damn
to
good.
Say, hey,
Damn
you
good.
Still got enough to be more competitive than, no, it's perfect, but to be more competitive than you are? Yes, that is a legitimate point to make. My point is, what is the top point? Like, what's the reason if you have to pinpoint one? Is it Brad Stevens? No, it's Kemba Walker's health. And Stephen A., you said, I mean, like, just look what happened. You can watch him move. He's obviously moving better than he was. He's obviously more healthy than he was. And lo and behold, as you mentioned, 32, 25, and they're starting to win. And in fact, when you say, did he suddenly get healthy? No, he gradually got healthy. He had the procedure right in the offseason, and at first it was no good, and little by little he's regained his health. And in fact, what I think we're seeing, knock wood, is that over the last week or so, he's feeling much closer, if not back to his normal self, and here we go. So it could Stevens do a better? Everyone could do a better job when you're losing. But if you want to say, what's the reason they're losing? They didn't have Kemba. They got him now, and they're winning.
Yeah. Well, they didn't play. He didn't play against Atlanta either when they got shellacked, and that was really the final straw where everybody was concerned. So I get your point there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. In an appearance on The Dan Patrick Show, NFL Network reporter Jane Slater said that Dak Prescott and his representatives are looking for Prescott's new long-term contract. Listen to this. To come in right behind Patrick Mahomes. You all know what Patrick Mahomes was paid, right? She said that Prescott and his representatives are looking for a respectable offer. A respectable gentleman joining us now. That will be you, Marcus Spears. So put a smile on your face. Don't know if you got a delay.
What's up, James Harden?
Good to see you.
What's up, James Harden? How you doing, bro?
Why is he James? Oh, because the beard?
How you doing, man?
You are unreal. That's actually pretty funny, Stephen A.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to save it. You know. I'm saving it, Molly. But trust me, before I exit
I need
the
all the I need all these laughs. I need all of them. So keep them coming.
Stephen A.
I'm just happy that my return's actually working now, so I can see Stephen A. smiling like the Cheshire Cat right now. He's having the best time from the joke.
Molly, I just didn't know. I just didn't know Harden was a pastor. I didn't know.
You mean Stephon Urkel.
When's the Netflix special?
We're going to refer to Stephen A. as Stephon.
I'm with you. I like
Urkel
it.
From now on.
Listen, he's got a lot. Stephen A.'s got a lot of personalities. That's all I got to say. So I'm with Stephon. All right, guys. Big fan of Dak Prescott. I think he should get paid. All seriousness. Right behind Mahomes, according to what Jane Slater here said from NFL Network. Max, what do you think? Is Dak overplaying his hand?
I do think so at this point. And I got to say, he's got Jerry over a barrel. Like, given the cap hit that's going to occur even this year with a franchise tag, let alone next year with a franchise tag, how can they really franchise him a third year, $53 or $54 million? It, you know, given all of that, he could get $40 million a year. But Mahomes signed a 10-year, the total value of the contract. Obviously, not all of that is guaranteed. The total value is like 10 years, half a billion. So even if what Dak means is he wants to have the second biggest contract, it's not going to be right behind Mahomes. It should be way behind Mahomes. Because if you pay Dak as though he's Mahomes, more or less, you're going to hamstring your franchise. Dak is I would say, a very good quarterback. I would not call him a great quarterback. I would say he could evolve into a great quarterback. He could be trending in that direction, right? We just missed a year, so like, who knows what would have happened this year. But there's a good chance that he could actually achieve greatness one day. Mahomes was great, as probably the best I've ever seen. Since the moment he started. You know, if you look at Deshaun Watson's contract, 4 years, what is it, 158, almost $160 million. If Dallas wants to give Dak a five-year deal so they have room to restructure whatever else they need to do and mess with their cap, okay. Dak is going to be around the $40 million mark at this point because he's got so much leverage with the Cowboys. But if he's looking for more than that, and I don't think the Cowboys can give it to him and still think they're going to be competitive. This is not the same thing as Kansas City, where, like, we have a Super Bowl dynasty, maybe. We need to keep this dude. And by the way, they got him under market, really. This is a team that has a lot of holes to fill. And if they're going to spend over $40 million a year on a quarterback who's not great, they're not going to be able to fill those holes.
You know, we could talk about Dak overplaying his hand all we want to, and I'm not going to even refute that, because I think when you're talking about getting paid Patrick Mahomes money and you only got one playoff win on your resume and two playoff appearances, I don't think anybody could argue with that. What I could say in response to that, Max, is I don't give a damn. It's such a thing as bringing it on yourself. And that's what Jerry Jones has done. Because you know something, it's interesting when you look at the long laundry list of contracts Jerry Jones has signed people to. Ezekiel Elliott, you paid him market value. The offensive lineman, the Zach Martins of the world and others, you paid them market value. Amari Cooper, you paid him market value. Jalen Smith, you paid him market value. And so if you're Dak Prescott, you're saying, wait a minute, you've been playing hardball with me since the moment I arrived in this league. Tony Romo had back issues. He clearly was looking to walk out the door sooner than later. I show up from Mississippi State. I'm flat out balling as a preseason quarterback. I'm here. I'm young. I'm vibrant. I'm ready to perform. I'm showing that I can do the job for you. And then I go into the regular season and I perform. You still didn't want to give me prop. You were still ready to hand that job back to Tony Romo at a moment's notice. Even after he retired, I'm here for 4 years. I don't miss a game. I make back page news when I miss a practice. That's how reliable and dependable I was. And still, you were resistant to taking care of me. the Colin Kaepernick situation comes about. And it's a maelstrom of controversy. Why? Because Colin Kaepernick has taken a knee. Jerry Jones decides to put his face on Front Street and let everybody know you will take a knee if you are a member of the Dallas Cowboys. You will do this and you will do that. I basically don't give a damn about social justice issues. This is where I stand, and anybody wearing this uniform, that's where we gonna stand. He has a business meeting where he announces it to the team. This is not a football meeting. This is a business meeting. And when you do this, it compromises my bottom line. And if you compromise my bottom line, I'm going to compromise your bottom line. And who was the person that never said a word, that supported his stance, that supported the organization, despite the controversy and the plethora of people aiming their shrapnel of criticism in the direction of the Dallas Cowboys? Your quarterback stood front and center and represented you in an incredibly reputable and impressive fashion. Did you still take care of him? No. Meanwhile, back, you know, in Minnesota or Washington before that, we got a guy like Kirk Cousins franchising himself day after day after day, guaranteeing himself years and years of money. I mean, 1 year after another, all of a sudden, this dude is guaranteed, this will have received $192 million in guaranteed dollars by the time 2022 arrives. So you're Dak Prescott. You're looking internally. You're looking externally. You're seeing everybody maximize their market value, and then Jerry Jones wants to come to you and say, not when it come to you. Not when it comes to the quarterback, linebackers, offensive linemen, running backs, wide receivers. We'll take care of everybody else. We'll watch other teams take care of their quarterback. But we won't do it for you. Why? Nobody has asked Jerry Jones this one question. Why Dak Prescott? Because I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,001. If this were Tony Romo, does anybody doubt that a deal would have been done already? Anybody. You can't find anybody that would sit up there and say, nah, it would be the same for Tony Romo. It would not. And as much as I love Tony Romo, who's an exceptional analyst and what have you, and damn good quarterback, by the way, when he was a member of the Dallas Cowboys, he has 2 playoff victories on his entire resume. That's it. That's it. But one he would have been taken. But he would have been. Well, there's one more, but Dak Prescott only been there for 4 years. That brother was there for 9 or 10. The bottom line is, if you would have done it for Tony Romo, why not Dak Prescott? And that's what I love about these demands that Dak Prescott is making. Because what it's doing is, it's going to get Jerry Jones out of hiding. And somewhere along the way, he's going to get in front of those cameras. And somebody is going to ask this man the question, why Dak? Why him? And that is the question that we need Jerry Jones in front of the camera answering. Why Dak Prescott? And that's why I love the fact that Dak Prescott is doing this, because he's forcing Jerry's hand, and Jerry's going to have to speak and justify why he's doing this with Dak Prescott all these years, not just now.
So the question is Dak overplaying his hand? And Max, you think so. Stephen A., obviously you don't think so. But I don't think this is a topic that we need to argue about, fellas. The bottom line is, and Max, you're wrong. He's not overplaying his hand. Because if I was your friend and you were going to a poker tournament and I saw you had pocket aces before they pulled out the draw, I'm saying, Max, stand firm. Hold tight. We have as good of a chance to win this particular hand or this particular game as much as anybody else on this table, including the house. That is where Dak Prescott sits right now. Regardless of if Dallas says, okay, forget it. We're not giving you a contract. It'll be 20-some-odd teams that will. It'll be teams in desperation to get Dak Prescott in case the Dallas Cowboys are ready to let him walk or play this franchise tag for 1 year for $37 million, which is not that far away from 40. And no, I'm not saying Dak Prescott is worth 40. Dak Prescott is worth whatever somebody's going to pay him, the highest amount of dollars to play the quarterback position. That may not be the Dallas Cowboys. And everyone has to be okay with with that? Because it seems like Dak Prescott and his agent Todd France and his brother Tad Prescott are perfectly fine with playing under this franchise tag and then moving on to see where the money resides. That's what the issue is. So yes, he's not overplaying his hand, because like we talked about leverage, Dak Prescott has a tremendous amount of leverage. And in the NFL, well, and you both have heard me say this time after time, hold on, Max. In the NFL, when it comes to players, just like in the NBA or the major leagues or any other professional league, your leverage is created by how good you are and how bad that team is without you. And we all know that the Dallas Cowboys have nowhere to turn to have a successful season if Dak Prescott is not their quarterback. Unless you saying, I'm getting Russell Wilson, or I'm going to go get Deshaun Watson. You are just laying in the weeds.
This is what I'm talking about, Marcus.
Go ahead.
This is what I want to say. First of all, Stephen A., keep banging that drum. I think it's an important drum to bang, and people need to hear it. So I'm with you on that sentiment. But specifically, whether or not like you like it or we like it that he's doing this to Jerry and putting him front and center and making him answer, is he overplaying his hand? Now, what gave Dak more leverage? What gave him more leverage, because these things are constantly changing, was they stunk without him, and Andy Dalton looked like a pretty good backup. They couldn't do anything. So Dak said, no, I got real value. Oh, it's not just the offensive line or the weapons. A lot of this has to do with me. That gave him real leverage. And the other thing is the NFC East is terrible with no quarterbacks. So they have a real chance to host playoff games for the foreseeable future if they get Dak. There's Dak's leverage. What's the Cowboys' leverage? Because things have changed again. Russell Wilson put the Cowboys on his list, and it was a short list of teams that he would accept a trade to. Deshaun Watson is also he'd like to be traded, but Russell Wilson in particular comes with not such a heavy price tag and probably cheaper to get than Deshaun in terms of what you have to trade. Well, that swings things a little bit. So you know what that means for Dak, guys? That means in terms of not overplaying his hand, will he get $40 million plus from another team? Maybe, but you know what that's going to take? It's going to take a team with the cap flexibility, right? They're going to have the room. Usually those teams aren't ready to win. But why would you sign Dak if you're not ready to win? It's going to be a quarterback needy team that needs a good quarterback to put him over the top. There aren't that many teams like that.
When you prioritize being an intellectual and showing the world how much you know, sometimes you miss something. And here's where you miss something when it comes to Dak Prescott. Who's to say he's asking for the $40 million from everybody? It might just be for Jerry, because he has an issue with Jerry. Whereas if he went somewhere else, he might be willing to make accept the $37 million, the $35 million, the $38
million. Possible.
It doesn't matter. It's the fact that that man has treated him in such a way. If you got a boss, Max, that treated you great, you might give him a discount, but if you felt he treated you disrespectfully, your demands on him might be stiffer.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. During his 16 seasons in the NFL, Joe Montana won 4 Super Bowls with the Niners and then led the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game. He's an 8-time Pro Bowler, a 2-time NFL MVP, and a 3-time Super Bowl MVP. Stephen A. Smith, you love resumes. How is that for resumes? Let's welcome in Joe, who's here on behalf of fan-controlled football. Joe Montana, good morning. Great to have you with us here on First Take.
Thank you for having me. How's everybody this morning?
We're great. Thank you for being on the show.
We're all good. We're good. All right, Joe, you know where I'm starting. With the Niners, with the quarterback situation. So Niners GM John Lynch was asked about Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's healthy, does he have any doubt that he's the guy? And he said zero doubt. At the same time, our Adam Schefter has told us 18 teams are looking at potentially changing their quarterback this offseason, which is just bonkers. What was your reaction to John Lynch's answer?
I think you always have to be behind the players and, you know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes. It's been tough for him to stay in healthy throughout the time he's been with the 49ers. And I think that becomes a concern if you can't keep him on the field. And I think it's a tough decision with the cap money that he has against him. And so I don't know. You know, you just never know. I never knew they were trying to trade me, but I guess they were too. So you never know what's going on behind the scenes back there.
Well, he's definitely won more than this year of games when he's been in the starting lineup. Clearly, durability is his issue. Is that, you know, even though he's missed some games, he did take him to the Super Bowl the year before that. Is that enough, the concerns that they have right now, that you believe they probably should move on because durability is such a question mark with him, even though he's still relatively young?
My guess is they because of his age, they'll keep him. And they give him another chance at it. This is just my feeling. I stay away from down there. I stay away from football at this point. But I think, like you said, Stephen A., when he's in there, they've had pretty good success in winning. And I think they just try to keep him healthy and see what they can get from there. And if it continues along this way, then I would imagine they'd try to make a change because it's hard to get any kind of consistency offensively without, you know, with moving quarterbacks around in and out, no matter what they say, it's hard to do.
Joe, a couple things Molly left off the resume was not only were you 4-0 in the Super Bowl, but you threw 13 touchdowns to 0 interceptions in the Super Bowl. And unlike a lot of great players who simply remain themselves and great under pressure, you consistently got even better when the stakes were the highest. You were one of those clutch players, in fact, not just by reputation, of all time. And insofar as there was ever a consensus that there was a GOAT among quarterbacks before Brady, it was you. Joe Montana was the guy, it seems, that Tom Brady has now replaced as the consensus GOAT. How do you feel about that? Is there a GOAT in the NFL? Was it you? Has Brady replaced you?
Oh, I think Tom is, you know, taking his place on the top up there a long time ago. So he's had a tremendous career. It's fun to watch. And everybody always contests over that. But I think if you look at what Tom's been able to accomplish in his time that he's played, I think is, you know, puts him definitely up there in the top of the list. There's a lot of great guys. As I said before me, even, you know, you go back to Otto Graham, who won 10 or 11 championships. So it's hard to compare them, but, you know, if you're looking at it, yeah, definitely Tom at that point.
Joe Montana, you know me well enough because I've interviewed you before. You know how I do. I got to ask you a question because I got something on my mind personally, Joe Montana. I want you to hearken back to the Green Bay Packers, okay, in that NFC Championship game. And I understand that Aaron Rodgers could have ran for the first down, if not a touchdown, in that third down. But that fourth down play when they took the ball out of his hands, okay, and elected to give the ball back to Tom Brady. I got to ask this question, Joe Montana. How did you feel about that decision, and how would you feel if the ball in on fourth down had been taken out of your hands and given back to Tom Brady?
Yeah. I don't know how you do that. You know, at that point in the season, you've worked so hard to get to where you are. It's hard to get there, and you got an opportunity to give the NFL MVP a chance to win the game for you. And, you know, I didn't understand that decision at the time. You chances of getting the ball back, but no, that the way that the Tampa Bay was playing at the time, you can't give Brady the ball anytime, and especially in a clutch situation like that, he's going to perform. So I tried to go and score the touchdown. I'm an offensive player speaking, but and a quarterback, you always want the ball in your hand, and I'm sure. You know, Aaron was probably just feeling, well, I guarantee you, he feels the same way, if not worse, because it happened to him. But I'm with you.
In a hard cap league, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. If a quarterback's getting X, then another player's getting Y, and it's less than it would have been if the quarterback gets what, you know, more of the money. And we have all these quarterbacks now in the explosion of their salaries. Patrick Mahomes, $500 million over 10 years, obviously not all guaranteed. Deshaun Watson. And now Dak wants to get paid as though he's Patrick Mahomes. We know he's not quite Patrick Mahomes. What is your feeling about Dak and the Cowboys situation right now? Do the Cowboys just have to roll over and give him the money?
Well, I think you got it. I mean, he's obviously proven he can play at a high level in that position. And I think Mike gives him an opportunity to become a little bit different quarterback and understanding because, you know, Mike McCarthy was with us with the 49ers and then again the Chiefs. And so I know his understanding of the position and how he feels. But I think if you give someone like Dak a little bit more structure to an offense and understanding that, you know, I think you're going to see the player everybody wants to see. And yeah, I mean, I think does he deserve Mahomes numbers? I'm not sure about that, but you know, there's a lot of guys up there making a lot of money that's not playing anywhere near as well as he had been playing.
That's for sure. All right, Joe, tell us about fan-controlled football. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, these guys came to me with this idea and you know, the fans are always talking about, should have done this, should have done that. And what a better way to do it, right? They've got, right now there's four teams, and it's called fan-controlled football. You can find out a lot more. You can become a part of it by going to the website, fcf.io. And you can actually call the plays and be a part of the offense. And you can't say, well, you should have done this, should have done that. And you're graded by your picks. And if they continue to work, you get higher points, you get more leverage on your pick. And, you know, they stream it on Twitch, on the website or on their app and Ben TV every Saturday. This is I think last week was week three and they had over 800,000 viewers on that watched. So that's a lot of people on that. So somebody's doing something right. And they actually are even giving the fans now had a chance to go in and be part of the ownership of the team. So they're letting the fans control
How
this
cool.
whole thing. And I know it's been pretty fun to watch, you know, and is it the NFL? No, but I think what it happens is it keeps a lot of, especially the skilled guys, gives them an opportunity to continue to play and hone those skills and be seen. Especially the receivers, defense backs, and quarterbacks, and that I think it's probably the best for them.
Listen, sounds like a lot of fun, especially for fans. Another way to be involved and connected to football. We always welcome that with open arms. All right, the Hall of Famer Joe Montana, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you all for the time. Appreciate it.